Your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service in Avon. Today we feature Governor Tim Walz. He addressed farm broadcasters this week at MinAg Expo, talking about a variety of issues, and one of those was farmer concerns regarding any sort of additional regulation when it comes to water and such, and Governor Walz commented on that this week in Mankato.
What they've always heard from me on this is we're partners in this. I said I've always been proud of Minnesota's, you know, an example of it is our water quality certification project, which is voluntary. We've enrolled well over 1 million acres of that, improving water quality. I think what we tell people, and I just had the conversation around the Bufferty property tax issue with the corn growers or whatever. I have always been very clear as governor that that we're going to protect our waters. We're going to do what's necessary, but we're going to work as partners in this. And the burden of that cost should not fall simply on our producers, that we all talk about how do we share this, how do we share the cost of that. So again, you're not going to hear from me that we're working at this. I know that whether it's putting on, putting nitrates onto the soil or whatever, our producers want to use as least as possible. They want to make sure they're doing things in a responsible manner. And I think Minnesota needs to recognize this as one of our greatest natural resources in addition to our fertile soil is our water and our clean water. So going back to what I've always said is just regulatory humility, partnership in this, getting it right. And I think celebrating where we've made progress. Now, we still have wells in the southeast that we need to deal with. I think we just need to make sure that we're working for a common goal, that the results we're going to get. The results are not putting on a fine with somebody. The results are clean water, and how do we best get there?
Sustainable aviation fluid, very important to many in agriculture here in the state. The governor talked about how he is encouraging SAF.
But this is one I said I'm owning on. I said I'm the grandfather of this sustainable aviation fuel. I've always been a big believer in biofuels. I got on this early. I believed this was the way to go. And I think telling Minnesotans this, Minnesota is internationally being looked at as a way to make this happen. It is a win-win-win, both for our producers. It's a win for the job creation. It's a win for the carbon reductions. It's a win for the increased need for fuels that we're going to need, just fuels in general. And we're not going to quickly move to EV airplanes, you know, for long-haul flights. It's not going to happen. And this is one way to try and get there. And I think Minnesota's tax credit started on this. But I'm with the producers here who we need to make sure that we're moving on all fronts so the construction of these facilities stay here in Minnesota. And for your listeners, this is a broad coalition. This is, of course, Delta Airlines is a piece of that. It's U.S. Bank and the finance piece. It's Ecolab, which is the world's leading clean water business focusing on this. So all of those things are coming together, and I think you'll see in this budget that we continue the tax credits, we continue the work forward, we continue the innovation. And there's a reason that the French ambassador visited me in St. Cloud a while back, because Paris wants to do this and Minnesota's ahead of them on this. So Washington State's working on it, and I knew we'd made a breakthrough on SAF when we had a meeting with officials in California who said, well, we've not been super enthusiastic about biofuels, but we're getting there because of this one. So I think there's reasons to be really optimistic on this. And a thank you to the folks, as I said, whether it's the folks over at Delta, XL Energy, Ecolab, the producers themselves, and to the folks out there who are critical of this. The feedstocks we use, we're trying to expand those all the time. We're trying to expand those to new areas that we can use to make sure there's enough there. Because look, right now, all of the SAF that's being produced in the world is less than 1% of what we need. And we're going to have to figure out how do we make sure we're expanding that feedstock and the technology to make it happen. Minnesota is the global hub of this. We have to stay there.
The governor does talk about this legislative session off to a very rocky start, to say the least. And he addresses what his hopes are for this session here as it wraps up in mid-May.
Yeah, well, they will get it. They will get it worked out. We'll be back in. We'll have a, you know, just like we had in really all the years that I've been there, we're going to have a fairly tight Senate and House. It's going to swing either way. It'll be about one vote in the Senate, probably end up tied. It will end up tied in the House. And we need to compromise to get things done. The thing I would tell Minnesotans is just quite honestly, in my 6 years of experiencing this, we wouldn't even see a budget coming out of the House or Senate till April at the earliest. So a lot of the first months are kind of messaging, they're kind of organizing and all that. I think right now the discussions I want to see a move beyond, you know, and we'll get this done, to move to the real things that we need to do. I presented them with a very responsible budget that keeps Minnesota on a very strong path. It addresses decades-old structural issues while still delivering the services to Minnesotans. So I'm very confident we'll get this thing done. There will be time to get it done. We need to have a budget. It's unlike D.C., we are constitutionally required to have a balanced budget, which we presented. We are in really solid shape, AAA bond rated, but preparing for this new economy, whether it's med tech or ag tech, Minnesota's looking strong. We saw job growth this month. We saw unemployment rate tick down, which I know is not a happy thing for a lot of employers because it's hard to find them. What my goal is to make sure, and this is where I understand the frustration in this, is the uncertainty is what really bugs both markets and especially agriculture. There's so many things you can't control, weather, you know, global issues. We should control the things we can control, which means getting in, passing a budget, passing a bonding bill, moving Minnesota forward.
Farmers at MinAg Expo had questions regarding buffers and where buffers are being taxed at the same rate as normal farmland, producing farmland. And the question was to the governor if something could be done.
Yeah, they mentioned to us, it's 99.8. And I think on anything we do on this, I think that's right. I think we need to have the data to show it, like our Ag Water Quality Certification Program. And you need hard data. I think most of us anecdotally would understand you've got, you know, 15-foot buffer there, and it's absorbing out nutrients and holding it. But we need to prove to them that it's working. I think their case around the property tax is one we want to go back and take a hard look at. They do have about a 99.8% compliance. And I think what's important to understand Minnesotans to know is, I don't know what the exact number was, but I bet you it was high 70s or above compliance even before there was a law, because folks are concerned about this. They understand this. They follow the policies. We put this in place. Philosophically, I have always made the case that, especially around environmental issues, that we should ask the folks who are there to, you know, have skin in the game, but we as Minnesotans should all benefit from that. So just for your listeners to understand is, you're standing there and right next to you is corn. They're paying $50 an acre tax on that, and they're standing in a buffer strip. They're paying $50 an acre on that in tax. And what they're saying is there a way to spread that piece out? I think in many cases we do that to say, look, we're all benefiting. They're going to benefit from their $50 with the corn they sell themselves. Now, we're going to benefit by food and things like that. But that buffer strip, we're all benefiting from the clean water that it's producing. We've got a stake in that. So I think it's a fair case they're making, and see what we can do on that.
When it comes to avian influenza, Walz talks about how the state is continuing to keep avian influenza at bay.
Yeah, it's a great question. First and foremost, I can't say enough, both from the commodity groups, the ag groups, the producers, as well as the state, both collaborations, and this is, you know, multi-jurisdictional with the health department, veterinary services, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Minnesota's the model on how to do this. And I think one of the things is people are seeing the effects of this in the cost of eggs. I think the story that's not being told here is how much more efficiently they are. This thing, had we not done the things we've done on containment, biosecurity, and thing, it would be far worse than it is. I think your question is about the jumping species, the human-to-human piece of this. There's reasons to be concerned, not alarmed. I will just say today, I am concerned that there is a moratorium on information being able to be shared. So today, USDA and others, even if we saw an outbreak happen, are prohibited from letting us know that. That was an executive order that went into play, and I think that is a really bad direction to go, because there's a lot of collaboration in this, because I don't think we're out of the woods yet. But I will say to folks out there that the way this is being handled collaboratively, following the data and protecting folks, has been really good. The unknown is what you brought up, is if we start seeing cross-species infections, and if we see it jump to humans, those that are impacted by it. And once again, letting folks know, it's not alarmism. It makes more sense to stop these things before they get out there. And the lessons we learned, you know, dating back 10 years when we saw this, the kill rate and the infection rates are significantly reduced because of the protections and the measures that folks put in place. But yeah, this is still out there, and it's hearing it. And this can't be reduced to price eggs and arguing about that. This is about biosecurity. And in a world that's so interconnected like this, what's the one that comes after H5N1? What's the next one?
Governor Tim Walz addressing farm broadcasters this week at MinAg Expo in Mankato. For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joel Gill. Your report brought to you by Minnesota Trailer Sales and Service.